I'm going to call this meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education for August 17th, 2020 to order. The time is 7:33 p.m. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on August 5th, 2020. Sent to three newspapers designated by the board, Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website and faxed to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Kramer, can we get attendance, please?
Ms. Brennan.
Present.
Dr. Brasher.
Here.
Ms. Brooks.
Here.
Ms. Emery.
Present.
Ms. Grant. Dr. Gratham.
Present.
Mr. Hornick.
Here.
Mrs. Kaldenbach.
Here.
Dr. Rahami, come on, Dr. Viamaki.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Hornick, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure, my pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America.
Into the Republic
for which it stands, one nation,
indivisible,
with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. Dr. Riyamaki, can you please be the process guardian?
Yep.
Good evening and hope everyone is doing well. Thank you all for joining us for the August working meeting. First off, I'd like to ask that if I lose connection, Dr. Riyamaki, could you please continue on with the meeting? I've had a couple of issues and I just want to make sure that we are prepared in the event.
Thank you.
Second, I'd like to take a moment to explain the announcement last week from the governor. We have heard concerns about in-person versus virtual from our community. Recently, there have been some school districts opting to start virtual across the state. I want to be clear that the decision to start as an all virtual is on a needs basis. I have every confidence that Dr. Roberto and our administration team are ensuring safety guidelines are being followed while preparing for the start of school. As for now, we do not fall under any need to start school remotely. This is a constantly changing situation with factors out of our control that make it extremely hard to predict. The unknown is not easy and quite frustrating. I ask that we work as a community to continue to support our students and staff with positivity and know that there is no one right answer. Lastly, I am requesting all the board members to complete the annual board self-evaluation. You will access this through the NJSBA website, similar to filling out the super evaluation. I will also send an email so that if there are any issues, please reach out. Please complete the evaluation by September 10th. At this time, I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Roberto for the superintendent's report.
Good evening, everyone. And again, thank you for coming. And Mrs. Brennan, thank you so much for acknowledging the work of our entire district. Although I appreciate you acknowledging the superintendent and administrators, the plan represents everyone, not just myself. Tonight, I'd like to give some information. This week, we're having our new staff orientation. I got to meet the new teachers today. I want to acknowledge Ms. Hinkle, Ms. Passione, administrators and teachers. They have a very engaging week, a couple of days. It's not a full week planned for our teachers. They get everything. And there's nothing more exciting, except maybe a kindergartner starting school, than a teacher going into their classroom for the first time. I remember it well. Yes, I remember it well. But it's like preparing a Thanksgiving dinner. You buy all the good food, you have the best recipe, state-of-the-art stove, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning and you've got everything and now you have to present it. and our new teachers have an awful lot of support. I've been in the district for 6 weeks, and I'm not talking as an outsider, I'm talking as a member of our educational community, but I do have to tell you, we have a fine school district. We have a superior school district. All the components, everybody that I've come in contact with to take care of our children are rooted with what's best for children. And I'd like to acknowledge all of them, everybody, the CTEA, the CTAA, Building and Grounds, Central Office, and the Ed Foundation, PTA. I've met with representatives from our municipal government this week, and everybody is on target and on point. I also want to thank the board. You're very serious. I love your questions. I love them because the questions help us all do better work. Tonight, I'm going to be offering information. Those of you who are listening, if you have children in the districts, you will be receiving all of this formally during the week. But tonight, it's an opportunity to verbalize what other plans we have for our children. One item on the agenda I'd like to acknowledge is the retirement of Ms. Grambor. Ms. Grambor and I have had two excellent conversations. And Ms. Grambor, I want you to know, as your colleague, I value the contributions you've made to our profession and definitely the manner in which you served our children. So the first item, there's only one item on the agenda for action tonight, and that is the district calendar. I want to thank you all very much for your cooperation. Our district, as I go through tonight, I'll be telling you our four primary goals for our school district this year. It's not a formal presentation, nor am I asking for acceptance. But the calendar represents a change to support our teachers in the opening of our district. We are opening with a totally remote platform, and we are also opening with a hybrid. Based upon feedback from surveys, based upon observations from our administrators and our parents and our teachers, we would like to offer the virtual platform with some modifications. So the calendar will be changed. The 28th will be school-based. No attendance, no formal meetings. We will be distributing to the faculty and staff the parameters for their classroom. And if they come in that day, it will give them an opportunity to gather their supplies if they're teaching remotely, and also to get the classroom ready. It's not a packing up the classroom day. It's just time for our teachers at their own pace to come in. The 31st will represent the formal opening of our district, and that will be offered in a hybrid model. And board members, you will be invited, as well as representatives from our community. The meeting will start at 9 o'clock, and it will be formal in presentation. We will offer our goals, we will acknowledge service, we will have some mandated professional development, and we will be offering our faculty and staff a keynote speaker on synchronized instruction. In addition to that, I want to thank the PTA for providing breakfast for our faculty and staff on that day. And we're also having our pictures taken. This year, everyone, children included, will be required to wear IDs. On this first, second, and third, they will be PD days for the staff. Some of it will be formal in approach. Most will be small, self-directed professional development. And again, I'd like to acknowledge Ms. Hinkle and Ms. Passione for the intense planning. In addition to that, our principals will be offering school-based meetings so that they can more personally identify the plan and how the plan for our reopening looks to for each building. On the third, we will also have a practice schedule. Each building will go through their schedule, and we will look at the way the flow of traffic will be at arrival and dismissal. And our principals have really worked very, very hard on this. There are two aspects to the work a district or an administrator completes. If you're a building-based administrator, the two primary areas of your work are management and adaptive work. You can't get to adaptive work unless you have a well-managed building. But management is not rules, rules, rules. Management to a child must look seamless. It must look spontaneous. But behind the scenes, the management must be there so that the building can always respond. This September is really a challenge for all for our entire profession, all school districts, because management under the guidelines by the CDC and the New Jersey Department of Education, our buildings must open seamlessly within those guidelines. But we are not giving up on adaptive work. Adaptive work relates to how we, as public educators, will develop and change in the service of our children, to provide our children with an enriched experience, to support our teachers in their decision-making to provide our children with those experiences. The opening of our school is all about our children, but the best way we as a district can support our children is to support our teachers. And time, collegial support, being there to assist, and planning for a well-managed, smooth opening is one way we support our teachers, because what they do in the classroom is the adaptive work, how they influence a child, how they instruct a child. Our goals this year, tentatively, we've had discussions, and that again is definitely an attribute to the Clinton Township School District. The fact that in the middle of all of this, we have had discussions about the adaptive work for the school year speaks very, very well for our district. Our areas of focus are as follows. Equity, not just equity related to the plan, but equity as it relates to the application of highly effective instructional designs and organizations for all children, every child, not just a few, but everyone. The second item is the SAMR model, S-A-M-R. We hear a lot about technology, but the SAMR model is a simple and very direct approach that can directly influence instruction. Our administrators have become well-versed and are well-versed in the SAMR model, and together we, as a faculty and staff and administration, will focus upon the SAMR model to not only use technology as a management instrument, but to truly use technology to amplify learning, to use it to offer individualization, modifications, and also in many cases, especially during this school year, to redefine instructional delivery. In addition, our third goal is social and emotional learning. That encompasses the whole child. And it also tiptoes into equity, because all children should receive same messages from their school. All children should have the support systems necessary. And the last item is domain 2 on our formal observation rubric by the approved rubric, Charlotte Danielson. Domain 2 is the classroom environment. Our teachers, our administrators, all of us must redefine the indicators under the classroom environment. How does a teacher get to know a child who's totally remote? How does a teacher connect children that are in two different cohorts? these are the discussions we want our teachers to have as we move forward. So our district is balancing between the management, and we are also moving into the adaptive work. And now I'd like to offer you some information. We need to talk a little bit, because you hear things in your news, you read things, but let me try and put this together for you so that, not that you can't understand it, but so that you have a framework of our district. When I say we're in this together, I'm not just saying we're in this together. We are in this together. And together we have to send our children same messages. September should be exciting. September, gosh, September comes no matter what. School starts. And yes, it's going to be different. And yes, we're going to wear masks, but we have to be positive. I have a grandson starting kindergarten this year, and he asked me questions. And I said, oh, you're going to be so excited about school. Yeah. Does my stomach flip? Of course it flips, but I'm not telling him that. You're going to be with your little classmates. What kind of mask are you going to wear? Let's decorate the bag for your supplies. And he looks at me and he goes, Jojo, I'm going to be okay. I go, you're darn right you're going to be okay, because you're going to be with your classmates and your friends. And then I look at my daughter and I tell her to watch it like a hawk. Watch it like a hawk. And I tell the parents the same thing. The reason we answer your emails, the reason I call you, is not because you're a parent. I call you because I respect you. I know what you're going through right now, and we're trying to give you confidence. But on the same token, we need confidence from you. We need your thoughtful questions. We need your thoughtful comments. We need that from you. Because if not, we're a closed circle, and we're just going to do what we think is correct instead of opening it up and hearing what the parents say. The announcements were made by our governor about fully remote. Fully remote was always an option if we couldn't meet certain criteria. We were given a directive by the department to create a plan for reopening. The PowerPoint presentation is still on the website. Health and safety had 10 areas. And I verbalized every single one to the audience that night. Our plan was 111 pages and followed every nuance or every piece of guidance we were given from the CDC. But last week it was announced we could go totally remote. That is not a Roberto decision. That is a community decision. 25% of the parents have selected totally remote. That tells me those parents have been satisfied in the decision-making as it relates to their child. But 75% of my parents have selected a hybrid approach. They might not like the hybrid. They might want their children in school 5 days a week, all day with a full lunch. But we've explained to you why that can't happen. So those parents were given a choice. And that is what the road back offered us. Those were the guidelines. Two other items I would like to share with you. The New Jersey Department of Health issued additional guidelines last week as it relates to COVID cases in a school. Now, when I read the guidelines, I haven't memorized them. We have superior nurses here. We have an excellent district physician. But I know the guidelines. If we have two children in the school in two different classes, it may force our district to go remote. We don't make that decision in isolation. We make it with our local Board of Health. All tracing is in collaboration with the Board of Health. We're not in this alone. But you may have picked remote and you may have picked hybrid. If the virus continues and we have cases in our district, then working with the Board of Health, we may be forced to go remote. And today we had a 2-hour meeting on that transition. And that transition won't be a week in happening. That transition could happen in a day. And this is why I need to emphasize this. In addition, we have been asking for local metrics. I watched the data for Burton County, Morris, and Hunterdon. I watch 5 towns in Hunterdon County. I've been doing it since March 16th. But what do the local metrics mean? It's not enough that Roberto looks at the case by case and says, oh gee, we only have one case. I'm not a statistician and I'm definitely not with the Board of Health. Well, we have asked for local metrics. They have taken the state of New Jersey and divided the state into regions. We are in the Central West region. That means we are with Mercer and Somerset County. Previously, we were with Sussex and Warren. And each region will issue their metrics. Based upon the information and the new guidelines that were issued last week, I will be calling in the district response team again to go through our checklist in relation to our plan prior to opening. The New Jersey Department of Education does not approve or disapprove of our plan. The New Jersey Department of Education accepts our plan. And I received notification last week from the department that our plan meets all the criteria identified in the road back. The areas of concern to go fully remote means our district or any district cannot meet these guidelines. Health and safety, if we can't provide PPEs, for example, if we can't put barriers up, if we don't have proper ventilation. Well, the PPEs have been delivered. The sanitizer is here. The barriers as identified are in place. Social distancing is the reason why we have an A and a B cohort, and the ventilation assessment began today, and we should have the results by the end of the week or early next week. The next item that could cause us to close would be the digital divide. If we can't provide access for connectivity to all of our students. When we did the survey, only 2 people said they had issues with connectivity. Both families have been contacted and everything is intact. Staffing, if I don't have enough staff. To date, it has been requested for 11 modifications under the CARE Act and federal labor guidelines. We have honored all requests. We have 2 openings in the district, and I'm being very creative on filling them. I'm looking at shared services with another district to support the academic progress of our students and their experience. So staffing as of today is not an issue. We are concerned about the availability of substitutes, and that is why parents cannot keep changing their selection. No more changes, because we are developing our cohorts. A to L is A, M to Z is B. At any time, a parent may move to the virtual platform with confirmation, but moving from the virtual to in-seat will only happen the next time in November, and that is due to social distancing. And if more people come into the in-person, it may require our district to secure additional personnel. As of today, we do not require additional personnel. Not right now. The last part is equity. Do we as a district feel we can offer our students both in seat and virtually the same academic experience? And yes, we do. And that is why we're moving towards synchronized instruction. It will afford our children with the opportunity to see live instruction, not merely on a Chromebook doing independent exercises. But that's where I need you, and that's where we all need you. Our teachers are at the forefront of this instructional process, and our teachers need our respect and support. And I show them that with the opportunity of time to learn with the support systems in place to understand it. And in some cases, this area can also come into health and safety, because you may not be able to provide enough time during the day. One way we minimize time is the purchasing of the Qualtrics platform. They are not recommending temperatures across the board, but we must do pre-screening. If we had to conduct individual certification at the door for each child, that could hold back the time for instruction. So we streamlined that. In addition to that, our remote instruction, as I said, 75% of the parents want in seat, 25% remote. One shift we're doing is the grade level teachers will be instructing the children, not as a team, but in a way so that all children become familiar with all the teachers. We're doing that in the event, A, we have to go remote due to a situation, or B, the child decides in November to come back in. We want our children to have a seamless transition into a class. We don't want them to feel they're starting all over again, or the parents are starting all over again. Our children will become familiar with all the teachers that service them. Some people say, why the AB schedule? Why off Monday? We're off Monday because working with school-based teams, we want continuity for the children. Well, why didn't you do AABB? We didn't do AABB because moving towards synchronization of instruction, we're trying very, very hard for our children to get familiar with all platforms. Because again, we do not know if we have to shift. If we have to shift, we have to shift. And it might be turned very quickly. Monday, it was to give 4 days of continuity. The cohort, as I said, we are not accepting any more changes. Any parent who did not sign up has been contacted by the school. We asked you to complete that by August 5th. Our bus lists are going out in the next 2 weeks. We're opening in approximately 2 weeks. This is where we need you. This is where we need your support. If you have not selected a program up to this point, we are calling. As I said before, you will be able to always go to the remote platform, but you have to wait for confirmation. And now I would like to offer you additional information. The ventilation, I told you the work commenced today. I want to thank Mr. Kramer and our new supervisor in building and grounds. Parents, this week, you will get information by Friday on supplies, lunches, snacks for all grades. FERPA has had all legal review as it goes to tracing. The work family connection, again, Mr. Kramer, thank you. Drop off and pick up. Nobody is permitted out of the car. Mass breaks are in the schedule. Please, parents, take the time to look at your emergency contacts. Please make sure the people that you identify can pick your children up, because any child who has any of the symptoms as identified in the plan will be put in isolation. Firming up dismissal hours. Parents have expressed concerns about the pickup. We're asking everybody, including interim superintendents, to sign a pledge. Not a promise, but a pledge. Technology agreement will be sent home. Chromebook distribution will be the week of August 31st. Qualtrics pre-screening platform will be available August 28th so that we all get comfortable with it. Visitors, again, are not permitted in the building. I want to thank Mr. Mason. Mr. Mason and our team of students have done videos for the kids. And we had a little laugh over it today because the kids that were the actors were wearing masks. So it's a little hard to understand them, but they'll get the point. They did a video for the little kids on how to wear masks, and they did a video on transportation. Next week, our administrators are meeting with their kids, and a middle school survey is going out this week. You know, many times we talk around kids. I always learn a lot from kids, because you can't fool a child. Oh boy, they can see right through you in a New York minute. So this week, our principals, they said they want to meet with the kids, and they're meeting with our middle school students. And the kids are also getting the survey. So that's what you will get by Friday. In addition to that, remote instruction at this juncture, today, at this time, although it's not my decision, everything is in place. In Hunterdon County, there are school districts going totally remote. My colleagues have informed me. But the decision can be initiated by the board, and the discussion can be initiated by the board. And that is my final report on the reopening plan. Now I would like to give you information on our HIV scores for last year. Here we come. This is not the self-assessment. The self-assessment will come. Totally district-wide in our district, all schools, we had 15 alleged incidents. 11 alleged incidents. We had a total of 15 district-wide training sessions, and we offered two programs. Incidents leading to discipline were 12, and alleged incidents, as I said, were 11. And that's the report that we submitted to the New Jersey Department of Education. I'd like to thank Ms. Goad for your fine work. And board members, you have your HIV training on September 21st at 7:30, and I will send you reminders. And I think that is all I have in the superintendent's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roberto. So I'm looking for a motion for our 21-SU-003.
Oh, sorry. Is this, I thought this was a working session, not a...
There's only one action item, and we're permitted, and that's a change in calendar.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. Well, you're right. You're correct. You're dead right. You're correct.
So, who motioned?
Motion.
Second.
Dr. Brasher, motion. Second. Dr. Rehamaki. Discussion, I will explain. We advertised for it, Ms. Brooks, so that we could vote on tonight.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Questions on the calendar change?
Dr. Roberto, can you just explain for the public what will happen with the end of the school year? Because I know there were some public questions
right.
about this.
As of right now, the calendar reflects 179 student days. We probably will go virtual on election day because the buildings are utilized. And although I try to track what the governor is doing, right now we want to get the building open and we need those extra days. We didn't want to make a decision about spring recess or winter recess by taking a day or President's weekend. So if we don't make any other changes, we'll probably add a day at the end of the year. Or the board at any point can take a day off of one of the scheduled vacations. But we felt for our faculty and staff and families, they're going through enough changes right now.
Thank you.
Because we don't know what we're going to get, what's going to happen, So we're just doing it slow, very slow.
No additional questions? All right, Mr. Kramer, could we please have a roll call vote?
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Grant? Dr. Gratham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Dr. Rahimaki?
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
I want to thank you very much for that courtesy. I mean that most respectfully, really.
Okay, and we have upcoming presentation at our next meeting on August 24th, the Virtual Academy by Mr. Luke Mason, Vice Principal, Clinton Township Middle School.
I have to tell you, you're going to love that Virtual Academy. Mr. Mason has done really, I didn't know he was a director though. He did those videos with the kids. He and Mr. Roberto did those videos. I can't wait to see them. The parents are going to get them next week. But oh, that Virtual Academy, he's our administrator with the Virtual Academy. And I think you'll be very pleased with what he shares with you, really.
Thank you. At this time, we've reached the first public comment section. There will be a comment section after, if anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once the speaker has finished. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of the public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 30 minutes. Okay, Brian.
All right. So the phone number ending in 2374. I've asked you to unmute and you should be able to address the board.
I don't have any questions or comments.
Thank you.
The phone number ending in 1122, I've asked you to unmute and you may address the board. Seeing nothing, and I see no hands.
Oh, there we go.
Well.
Hi there, my name is Amy Marks. I live at 5 Cottonwood Court, Clinton, New Jersey. My daughter, Mackenzie Marks, is going into 7th grade, and we opted for all virtual, mostly because I'm concerned about the kids and the uncertainty if something were to happen. And you don't have to answer this now, but I'm very concerned, not just, my kid is now going all virtual, mostly because I felt like if we closed down, the uncertainty of opening and closing would be a big psychological burden on the kids. And also because I have the ability to work from home, and I thought if it was limited, I'd rather give that space to somebody who couldn't actually have the opportunity to work from home that needed to send their kids to school. However, I am really concerned about the psychological effects of, like, you know, opening and closing or sitting in classrooms with kids. So that's one of my concerns, and more for the community of our kids, not just my own kid, what kind of support we're going to give these kids psychologically. I know that there was an event recently I drove my daughter up to that was socially distanced, and she decided she didn't want to get out of the car. And, you know, it was a little bit overwhelming. There were people, even though they were outside and they were all socially distanced, they didn't have masks on, and it made her very uncomfortable. And it was very strange to have to keep driving away. So that's concerning to me. I think the other part, the HVAC system is a big deal. And I think you're going to be getting some information back on that. And I think that will be very interesting to understand how the ventilation systems are going to be prepared for our kids and our teachers. So, by the way, I also love the teachers that are teaching in our school, and I don't want to see them put at risk. So the HVAC system and how we're going to do any kind of retrofit to that or ventilation systems that we need is very, very concerning to me for the health and welfare of the teachers and the amazing administrators that we really have at our schools. And then I would say third, first, I have to commend our new superintendent. I don't even think I've ever heard anyone, like, in the past talk like a real person to me as a parent here. And I really appreciate that. Like, for the record, I just think communication is so key. And I thank every day that of the board that we have compared to some of the boards we've had in the past and how open and communicative you guys have been. And honestly, the tonality in which you just spoke to us was refreshing living in this community and welcomed and makes me so happy, to be honest, as a parent that's been concerned in the past. I just so appreciate that. And also the respect in which the new board has been speaking to parents and to each other. And then lastly, I will say, I actually like the fact that you were like, wait till you hear about this virtual academy, because I've been very concerned about that. And I know that I have sisters, three of them that are teachers. And my mom was the dean of a college. I just know the training that they've gone through year after year and utilizing their, you know, lesson plans they always had and the way in which they taught. And this is something that no one could have prepared for, the fact that now we have to do online learning. And I worry for both my child's education, but also for just the stress on the teachers that have had very little training in how to do online instruction. By the way, for the living, I usually speak to large groups in person. And I am now doing like 4 webinars a week and consultative work on Zoom globally. And I don't know how to do it. And I have tools like Luna with, you know, virtual whiteboards and things like that, which honestly took me a long, I'm pretty educated, took me a little while to get used to. Mural and stuff with post-it notes. It's hard. And like, I worry for our teachers and our kids to adapt to a new learning style and process that is difficult.
Ms. Marks, I apologize, but your time is up.
That was actually the end.
Thank you.
Madam President, can I just respond to Ms. Marks?
Yes.
I agree with everything you said. Everything you said. Everything you said, the administrators think about. Everything. I mean that. And I am a human being.
Yeah, thank God.
Aren't we all? We're in this together. Everything. And the ventilation system, we'll find out. But I want you to know, Mr. Kramer ordered the M13 filters, although they're not required under 7.6 administrative code. We're ahead of it. We're staying ahead of it.
Thank you.
And next,
Ms. Corral, you may address the board.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. My name is Patricia Corral. I am a resident of Clinton Township, to Austin Hill Road. We have been in this district for just over a year, and I just have to say, Dr. Roberto, you are such a welcome to this community and such a breath of fresh air. We used to live in a different school district where you were interim superintendent, where you did amazing things there. And when I heard you were coming to Clinton, I was beyond full of joy to know it was you that was going to fix our district. So thank you for that. I also share similar concerns with Ms. Marks about the psychological effects on our children, because it is, even for as a parent, I am also an educator. I know I'm dealing with this through my own children and my students that I teach. And I also share the concern with the ventilation issue. So, you know, I look forward to seeing those results, but you've made me very happy, Dr. Roberto, even to just share that you've got the M13 filters already on order. So that is amazing. I just wanted to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and thank you to all of our kids' teachers, because you guys are all amazing. And thank that's
you.
It.
Mrs. Dominakis, you may address the board after you unmute yourself.
Hi, Sonia Dominakis, 56 Haytown Road. I've got two boys in the district. I teach at the middle school. And I echo the previous speakers on the sentiments of the amazing work that has gone into making sure that the opening of school is as thoroughly and completely covered in terms of addressing issues as possible, so that when we do start, hopefully we can stay open. I know Ms. Marks mentioned that she worries about having to open and possibly close and then open, as do I. So, you know, hopefully if we do things right, and I have a feeling we're on the right track here, if we do things right, you know, that won't be the case. So the couple of things I just wanted to ask was, I also am very eager to see the results of the HVAC testing, because having been in multiple buildings in the district, I know that even throughout one building, there are various inconsistencies from room to room. So I'm curious about that, but it's made me very hopeful, because you said that you had mentioned having ordered the filters already, which kind of made me think about the second point. I know you had mentioned, you know, PPE and things like that for the staff. And I just wanted to make sure, because one of the school districts in the state had cited that as a prevention, like they're not getting it in time for school opening. And I just wanted to, you know, make sure that we've got it in our possession, we are ready to go. So thanks again for all your work, everyone.
Madam President, may I respond?
Of course.
Okay. The PPEs that we got in were the cloth masks, the sanitizers. The things we're missing right now are, again, our gowns. But, you know, I hate to say this, the nurses are the people responsible for wearing gowns, which we can purchase. And we are finalizing our second order of PPPs. Children will be required to bring a clean mask every day. And we're not permitted to wear the masks with valves. And again, all information will be given to parents and guardians this week. The faculty and staff I gave an update to last week, and we're finalizing our information for everyone, you know. And it does represent the work, but the ventilation is out of our hands right now. We can't, none of us know how to evaluate that. And Mr. Kramer and I have been there 6 weeks, and it's not a traditional HVAC concern. We had to find a company that can truly assess ventilation. And when we get those results, then we will complete the work as we go forward. We're good.
Thank you.
You have one more.
I think I see two.
Now, Ms. Crichton, you may address the board.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stacey Ann Crichton. We're at 22 Prescott Circle in Lebanon. Again, echo the same sentiments in terms of the effort and the work that's being done to make sure we're positioning ourselves as best as possible. I have a follow-on question to the HVAC analysis. So making the assumption that the analysis comes up and we don't have significant challenges that would bar us from opening and going to in-person schooling this year, have we, or is part of the assessment in terms of how the classrooms are going to be set up, will that include kind of the positioning and where the teacher stands versus where she doesn't stand. There's been a couple of peer-reviewed journal articles that have shown kind of what the best position of the teachers may be to kind of minimize particle spread throughout the classroom, and we'll be considering any of that information as we lay out the classes. Like, I know the desks are not going to be in like the quad setup anymore, but have we considered how to apply those learnings as we set up the classrooms for our kids?
Madam President, may I?
Ms. Creighton, do you have any additional questions?
Nope.
Okay, then yes.
Yeah. About 3 weeks ago on a Sunday, the principals went into the building. They emptied their classrooms out. Dr. Brasher, Dr. Riamaki, I'm sure you two can give an excellent observation about the formula that was utilized to do this. The short answer is yes, we are using it. The longer answer is it's a little bit more involved than that. I have to tell you, it's a little bit more involved than that. And that is one of the reasons it, your positioning, if you look at ASHA, EPA, all those, as you said, secondary, I'm not an heating, ventilation, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not that right. person. But in the classroom, that's why we bought each teacher a shield. A teacher will get their mask and a shield, because if, you know, some of this information is, the data is not conclusive. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to do studies to determine that. The same way there are very few pieces of data about the asymptomatic child. And that's why we got our teacher shields. I saw you roll your eyes. Do you have good data on the
No, not so much rolling my eyes, but I do agree that there's a lot of inconclusive data on children and the virus in general, right? If you look at many of these peer review studies, you see that there are studies from American Pediatrics that show children, depending on the age, there's a little bit of a stratification between the viral loads and who has what amount of virus that is present.
Well, don't go to the research from Wuhan. It's very fascinating. And don't go to Denmark.
No. Well, they have a different approach for education than we do. But yeah, I think there are, my question in general is just to make sure that we're taking advantage of, you know, credible peer-reviewed journal and scientific publications to help guide us on the decisions that we're taking as it pertains to setting up the classrooms, making sure that we're kind of looking at that space utilization in a good way. Even feedback from, you know, relevant industries, like we have, you know, what is the, you know, the hospital is a good example. They have to know how to do this in a way that is protective for patients and staff alike. So just kind of that's the spirit of my question. But I do agree that some of the data is inconclusive, but there are some pretty robust studies, even though small, but they're statistically powered, that can kind of give us an idea on what we might want to consider. Right.
And that's why our weekly meetings with the Board of Health are so very, very important, you know. And like they told us last week, we can't use gator masks. And no bandanas are permitted. And that I read in an informal article about 3 weeks ago, and now it's, you know, finally come. Mm-hmm. And the M13, Mr. Kramer, you did a lot of research on the M13 filter. And restaurants don't even have M13 filters, you know, like common places where people congregate. So this is fascinating. I mean, if you look at it without the... If you're just looking at it, if you were reading a book about it, like I'm reading the novel on the 1917
pandemic
by Dr. Barry.
Yes.
I mean, forget it.
Yeah.
I figure I want to know what they did. And, you know, it started in Philadelphia and nobody did anything.
No.
Thank you, Ms. Creighton. We could have a good discussion on this.
I'm happy to engage.
I am too. I didn't have to open the district. I could be fascinated by it. I have to tell you.
Agreed.
Really.
So our next, we have Ms. Tepper.
Yep, next is Ms. Tepper.
Hi, everybody. This is Julie Tepper. I live at 202 Arbor Drive in Stewartsville. I am currently a second grade special ed teacher in the district and have been in the district for 18 years. And never spoke at a board meeting, so here we go. I just wanted to thank you, Dr. Roberto, and the board for considering and accepting the change of start date for staff and students. Having been through what we've all been through in March, and I taught ESY over the summer and was also part of a hybrid training last week, a four-day training. I know that it is going to be vital for our teachers to have that self-directed time in the classrooms with our teams, with administration, in the classrooms, getting used to the ways that we are going to need to use technology and synchronize both students at home and in school. And I'm very grateful because I was a little worried after, really grasping what we'd be doing that, you know, all of a sudden we'd be starting when we were told we were going to be starting and, oh my God, how? But I know every teacher that I work with, as we always do, we get it done. And with the extra time, and I'm glad to hear that it will be primarily time with our teams and not as much scheduled work in the district that, there's a little bit more hope that we'll get that done exactly the way what we need to. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. McFadden, you may address the board.
Hi, yes. Penny Perez McFadden, speech language specialist at the Round Valley School. I have to say thank you to Dr. Roberto. The whole thing about net gauges is really why I pressed that raise my hand button. But also, I was looking at the numbers in Jersey, and I just had a question. The transmission rate, I guess, went up today from 0.99 to 1.03. And I just wonder, are we keeping an eye on that? And is if it gets to a certain level, is that going to make us shut down? I just was wondering if there was any kind of criteria for that. That was really my basic question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's why we wanted local metrics, because I teach data for administration and education, but I'm not a statistician. But Hunterdon's transmission rate compared to Bergen County from the onset, there's quite a difference. And that's why we've been asking, not just me, but all of us, for local metrics. And now we're going to get them. What is my guess? I'm just making a guess because nobody told me. But I think they're going to use local metrics to determine if there's a rise in any area that would warrant moving the district totally remote. That's my thought. And that's why I'm trying to stay ahead of it by looking at it. But now that they put us in with two other counties, I'm watching their metrics too. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a set number. And are we
I don't know what it is, because when it went up 3 weeks ago, our governor stopped indoor dining, and I think we were cresting at 1.4 transmission rate, and he pulled us back to no indoor dining.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if the whole no gator, no bandana was going to be part of a mask policy. You know, like, because I was in a meeting last week with the people in my school, and there was a teacher there who didn't know anything about the gators not being like a good thing for a mask. So maybe we need to make it more part of the policy because they're very popular.
Right. And policy 1648 addresses our restart and reopening. And that gator mask and bandana, we just got that last Tuesday. That just came out. In fact, our district ordered a couple of the gator masks for the little kids. And now we're not using them at all. And that's why we meet with the Board of Health every week to stay current with what is, what's appropriate. We don't use free interpretation. We don't.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people know. I know, because the ones out there, the prettiest ones are.
Right, you're correct. And we stay current, but the teachers will have all of that. There'll be some items from the district, but then I want the principals to have time with their staff to personalize it for each building. And then our kids have to wear a mask all the time. That was another shift about 3 weeks ago. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our last hand
is Miss Knapp.
Thank you.
You may address the board.
Hello, Christina Knapp. I'm a special educator at the Clinton Township Middle School. And just kind of to piggyback off of what Mrs. Tepper had said, I also attended the hybrid instruction training program that was paid for by the district last week. And I just wanted to thank you, the board and administration, for supporting the teachers in navigating this difficult time by providing trainings like these. They've been extremely helpful. I think they gave us all a much better handle on things, on how we're going to be living in this new educational world. After attending the training, I do have one concern. In everything that I've been told about our plan, teachers are going to be expected to live stream to the students who are at home at the same time that they're providing live instruction to the students in the rooms with them. And on page 4 of one of our training documents that we were given, it states, prior to the pandemic related school closures, explicit instruction was typically provided as whole class lessons. Whole class lessons across video, sometimes called live streaming, are not effective. I won't even sugarcoat that. It is impossible to manage distractions occurring in the home. It is also difficult to gauge student understanding of content through effective body language, which is one of the strategies used by teachers in the physical classroom, end quote. The document was talking about just live streaming to remote students, and there was no mention of having the live students in front of the teacher while live streaming. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, provides obviously another layer of complexity to make this an effective way of providing instruction to the remote students. And the training provided methods for providing asynchronous instruction for the whole remote class and small group instruction for live instruction. And we learned about the flipped classroom, where asynchronous lessons are delivered online and then questions are answered and reinforcements provided. And these are what's being taught to us as best practices for the environment that we're now entering. And, you know, we as teachers, we want to do what's proven to be in the best interest of our students. And we hope that the district will, you know, consider that in our approach with live streaming at the same time as in-person teaching, and take the advice of the experts that, you know, have done as much possible research as they can, given our circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I don't see any additional hands.
You have no more hands.
Okay, thank you for confirming. Okay, I'm going to close the floor to public comment section and on to the report of the business administrator, Mr. Kramer.
We have several resolutions being provided for next week's meeting. The first three are routine: the bill list, monthly financial reports, and transfers. The monthly report and the transfers will relate to the June 30th year end. We're still working on them to get them finalized. I am hoping to have them out to the board by Friday, or if not before. Actually, I need to get them out by Friday and not before. We had a the state gave us a revised state aid. We lost about $25,000. This resolution will allow us to take the $25,000 out of our fund balance in order to make us whole. We're establishing the federal school lunch pricing for 2020-21, required to do that on an annual basis. The safety grant, we needed a resolution in order to finalize the grant. That's the only thing that was holding us up. And once you approve it, I'm sure we will be approved for the grant. There are four inactive bank accounts that we've had for several years. They're all school-based petty cash accounts. They have not been used. So instead of incurring the fees for having open accounts and no activity, I think it's a good idea to close those accounts. Also, just to throw out, I spoke with the auditor about having the capital reserve bank account and not a maintenance reserve bank account. There's really no need to have either or. So next month, I'm going to be recommending to close the account. Where that money goes, it goes into the general account. So why have the extra steps for reconciliations and the entries that you have to post each month when you can just consolidate it into the one account? And then with the meeting minutes, I separated the two, the July 1st special session and an executive session, and then the workshop and the regular session are being recommended for approval. I sent all the minutes out to all the board members for review. Any comments that we have received have been adjusted. The second why I separated the two is because these minutes, there were quite a few of them, had not been approved by the board yet, and I was not around to know what might have been requested to be modified or not, so I resent them all to all of the board members, and any comments that had been given to us for modification have been modified and will be resent out with the Friday package for next Monday's voting. I believe there were three meetings that we cannot locate minutes for. So we're going to need to go back to the, if I could say it, videotape and reestablish, recreate those minutes. And as soon as we have that done, we will forward those to the board for the review and then eventually your approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions in regards to the VA report or items on it for next week? Okay, I don't see any, so we can move on.
Thank you very much.
Did I miss something? So facilities and finance, we have one item, very rare. Any questions? Okay. This is a donation that we made in April to the Hunterdon Medical Center of lots of PPE. Personnel, we have 25 items. Do we have any questions on any of these items? Must unmute. I am not seeing any questions on any of the personnel items. So we will move on to policy. We have one item for that. Questions on policy. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Curriculum. We have 8 items for curriculum. Does anyone have questions on these items? Okay. Then we are, that was fast. We are on to old business. Old business, one thing we have is the meeting in person to have a conversation about that and whatnot. So how do we start? I agree with what Ms. Grant said at the last meeting about having people in. However, I think we have some things that are going to keep us from fully recognizing that. So are there thoughts on, I know we shared some thoughts at the last meeting, if you'd like to share, let's kind of pro-com list it and let's figure out the best way to go about this.
Well, I liked Dr. Brasher,
talking about the risk reward. And I think anyone who's been attending these last month and a half, especially realizing the number of hurdles that we have to open, to give our kids the best chance of success in both formats, is a really heavy lift and a lot of work for the staff to be able to execute it, and a lot of expense to the district to be able to execute it in excess of our sort of status quo operating procedures. So I really think at this time our focus should be on not dropping the ball on that as a relatively large risk relative to the reward of optics of having us physically seated in a space at the school. So while I do recognize that it would be, you know, there have been plenty of things about the irony of people sitting on Zoom to make decisions about teachers coming back into the classroom or kids going back into the classroom. I do think right now the risk of jeopardizing our ability to focus and execute on having the hybrid and remote instruction up and running as smoothly as possible is the bigger concern. And we should not be detracting from the energy or attention of our staff to try to figure out how to accommodate our seats in person. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Dr. Grantham. I believe, Mr. Hornick, you brought up last meeting about us Monday being the virtual day, which does put us in a pickle of it have already been cleaned and we would have to do additional. And I think that's a really good point with that. And while the funny thing is our September meeting is on a Thursday for this first one, our usuals are on the Mondays. So I think that holds water in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with what Dr. Grantham just said. There's so much going on. Like we're already, instead of focusing on just a hybrid or just a remote, we're already splitting people. And, you know, instead of just putting all of our resources behind one thing to make sure we can, you know, do the greatest job possible, we're trying to do the greatest job possible for two different things. And I know we have the people who can do that. We shouldn't ask them to have to worry about us right now, when we can be still having effective meetings. And I mean, we have public coming to these meetings at numbers that we haven't been able to get to in person. So I think right now this is probably the way to go. And I completely agree with Dr. Grantham and everybody who has said it is odd that we're doing this on Zoom, talking about other people not doing things on Zoom. But the cost and all of that, I think it's, we need to focus all our resources on the students and the staff and the teachers.
I can agree with that as well. I know Ms. Grant also recommended with the outdoors. As much as I'd like that to be feasible, there's a lot of obstacles that will add to our workload and also to the ability to have it. And I'm not sure I can't speak for our tech department, but I think that would be a lot of additional work to not only set up the equipment, but to figure out how to get it outside and have power to it.
I agree 100% that I want the staff to be able to focus on their jobs, right? On getting the tech ready for the kids and the teachers and all of that. And I don't want to divide their work, but I do want to go on record saying that this doesn't feel right though. And I think that we need to make every effort to get these meetings in person. Like if we're going to bring kids in as soon as we can, we need to do this in person. And again, the focus is on the kids. The money is for the kids. That's where the energy should go. But as soon as we can, otherwise it just doesn't sit right.
Is there a smaller area than, you know, that, just thinking about the size of the of the auditorium where we meet, and the work of getting that prepped and the work of getting that cleaned, you know, is there a smaller area? What is the likelihood that people are going to come in person? We always, you know, our past experience with in-person meetings is that, you know, except on occasions where there was something particularly controversial being spoken about, generally the audiences are quite small. It's been actually really exciting to see the number of people who've been involved remotely. But is there a way of using a smaller venue to accommodate those who wish to be there in person, so we're not incurring the amount of effort that the auditorium incurs? I don't know if it makes a difference, but.
Mr. Kramer and I discussed it after your last meeting, and we felt every way the board wanted to go, and Mr. Kramer, please don't hesitate to chime in, but we felt it would be easier to control the situation if you move to classrooms, because it's contained, and your meetings are on a Monday. Nobody would be in the building for 2 days, ergo the classroom, it's not sanitized, but it's past the minimum risk, you know, the risk time for surfaces. And then it would be in a room after like the A group, whatever group was in, and then it would have time and not be used again. So it could be like a library, you know, but you could do a hybrid approach for your meeting.
That's actually my next question. And I don't know if we can bring Mr. Farquharson as the tech person, but my concern is next, how do we keep it hybrid with, say, you know, we've been in the room where you have multiple different devices and feedback and all that. So how can we continue with this? Because this is, as you know, as Ms. Brooks pointed out, having as many people as we've had participate and you know, having people that have a reason they may not be able to come in or for whatever reason. So how can we continue this into with a live question and answer as online as well as in person? That's my question.
Mrs. Brennan, isn't that what they'll be doing in the classrooms?
Well, yes, but they won't be individual, like the individuals in the classroom, I don't believe are also video themselves. I mean, I could be wrong. I just know that for us to be how we are currently, with each of us having our faces on the video and being able to interact, like myself, being able to interact with you guys, each of us would need a computer. And then we'd also, if we are in the same room, have to figure out the best way that there's not a sound issue with when I talk, which computer is hearing my, like how that works. And that's where my expertise is like here, and that's where we are. So that's my question.
I've actually talked to my husband about this, and he said that because for my classroom, like, can the kids all be on a Zoom? And he laughed at me because they can hear each, like, they need to be far enough away. They all need to have, like, if you wanted to do it, we would all need to be obviously far enough away for social distancing, but we would also need headphones and microphones so that it only went in to our microphone and it couldn't be picked up by the computer there. Otherwise we would have feedback. Right. And again, I think we're looking at spending a lot of money.
Last week, Mr. Mason and the administrators were in a classroom and they were doing exactly what you were describing. They were figuring out, and then tips toes into Ms. Creighton's question before, where the teacher was positioned within the correct area for health, but then also to do the, contrary to what a spokesperson said, synchronized instruction, you know, and it's gonna take time. But the meetings, that's your discussion. I'm sorry, thank you.
Lana?
Yes.
I'm wondering if, do we have an opportunity to ask the community? You know, previously we had asked the community and the, you know, parents, stakeholders, everyone at large, what their preferences were, even on their preferred day to hold this meeting. And we did ask at that time, what was their preferred channel to consume this, you know, the school board meetings. And the overall majority did want it to be in a digital fashion. They wanted that to continue. They wanted us to continue to deliver this digitally over Zoom. But I'm wondering if we want to again ask them how they would like us to participate moving forward. If there is even a preference for us to want to open it up to in school, that might be something we could think about. And if, you know, 2% are saying, well, we, you know, we want you to come back in person, that may be able to help us with our decision making.
Can I just respond to that quickly? So I think our parents are getting a lot of information from the school district, and I don't want to dilute the really important critical messages from Dr. Roberto and the rest of the administration. So I don't want to discount the public opinion here.
That's a good
but,
point.
But it might not be the right time for that.
Agreed.
I really don't hear a lot of benefit other than optics for us going back in person. And there are a lot of negatives. I know we don't like to think of ourselves as politicians, but we are. And I'm willing to take that on the chin as bad optics for the right decision for our school district, because it sounds like it would be costly. It would add risk to our district. It would add another thing for our staff to worry about. And there's one other thing that I think is important. You know, one of the reasons you might want to go back in person is it's easier to communicate in person because you can see body language. And it has been notoriously difficult in our meetings to actually have conversation because we can't hear each other and we can't see each other when we're in person, the way that it's configured. So I actually think that, you know, Mrs. Marks said it was about the makeup of the board, but it's also just about our ability to be able to converse in this platform. And it's ironic because that's not what virtual is supposed to do. But I think in this case, I feel like it has really helped our communication with each other.
We've got a round table instead of a long table.
and audio that's working.
Yes, I can actually hear for the first time in 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that at all. I'm sorry, I don't disagree with that at all.
There's clear communication for you.
So much for the communication. So much.
I don't disagree with that at all. I just, as soon as we are able to solve those problems, that we make a concerted effort to get into the building, my point. But I agree with everything that you just said. Agree.
From the most uncomfortable chair in my house in my laundry room, I totally agree with that. I would like to get back in person. Focus-wise, I will say for me, it's a better thing, but I do agree with there's a lot of, we seem to have made, I think, a decision where let's reevaluate this at our second September meeting. If we could get some information back from the tech department on how we are going to be able to pull this off when we do go back, that would also be helpful, I think, if everyone's good with that. Yeah. Okay, so our two September meetings, the 10th and the 21st, will be virtual. Is that acceptable to everyone? Is there any concerns, additional concerns? Okay. So we'll reevaluate this on our meeting on the 21st. Is that good? Okay. Any other old business?
I just wanted to report on the Hunterdon and joint Hunterdon and Somerset County School Board Association meeting on August 3rd. I was really happy to see other board members there. So I think Dr. Grantham and Ms. Kaltenbach and Mrs. Brennan were there. There wasn't a tremendous amount of news to share, except a lot of anxiety across lots and lots of boards. And we're in good company there. Annual virtual workshop, or the annual workshop from NJSBA, will be virtual. And so they were really selling that as a great opportunity for those who haven't been able to participate in the past. And the resources, because they'll be virtual, will be available after the workshop. So they will live on for the subsequent year. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention was that there was a tremendous amount of discussion about the what's happening with the state government. And so I just want to acknowledge that everyone is realizing that, you know, some of the decisions are out of our hands, and, you know, really looking for guidance and clarity from the governor, from the legislature, about things like funding, which we, I think, now have a little bit more clarity on, because the Bond Act was affirmed by the Supreme Court, Superior Court, and the, you know, issues about limiting indoor gatherings to less than 25 people, you know, what that means for schools. So there was a lot of discussion about that, but this is evolving with each press conference that the governor has. So anyway, I think the bottom line was there needs to be flexibility, which is not comforting, but.
Trying to hit a moving target.
Thank you. Then if no additional old business, we're gonna move on to new business. Does anyone have any new business?
Just for record keeping purposes, Ms. Grant did just show up to the meeting.
Oh, thank you.
Madam President, can I just acknowledge Mr. Farkas and the technology department?
Yes, you must.
Ryan, I have to tell you, make believe everybody's not here. You're really good, Brian. You really are. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Dr. Roberto.
No, I really mean it. I forgot to mention it before when I was thanking everybody. And that's because I don't take you for granted, but you're there, Brian. So I guess I do take you for granted, but
sure,
I don't
mean it. Dr. Roberta.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So with that, we will move on to the second public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone if you could please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once the speaker has spoken. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes.
You have one phone number.
Okay.
Phone number ending in 2374. You may unmute yourself and address the board if you choose. I have nothing. So, Ms. Marks, you may address the board.
Hi, my name is Amy Marks. I live at 5 Cottonwood Court in Clinton, New Jersey. I have a seventh grader named Mackenzie Marks who's doing the all virtual option. I just wanted to pass along that I did send a link to a couple of the board members of ASHRAE's frequently asked question website page. I work in the construction and design space and also have some friends in leadership there, but I've forwarded onto their resource page where you can actually see some of the things and questions that are being asked about reopening buildings from ASHRAE. And then I will say that I know you're not asking anyone's opinion right now, which is fine, but if you just look at the attendance that we have virtually at these meetings compared to what we had in the ghost town of other meetings in the past, it's just so much easier to come to when you can get online and register quickly and come to it and actually see. And I agree that I'm sure our audiovisual guys are amazing, but it's really hard to hear in the auditorium and the setups that we've had in the past. And because we were not in the, you know, world of digital, that people couldn't actually, they'd have to sit through full listening recordings instead of seeing people. But this is, I totally agree with Dr. Iyamaki. This is like taking it on the chin for optics, that people are like, you're asking me to come in, you should come in too. But in reality, this is much better. This is like a lot better for the business, for all the meetings, for everything that we're hearing, so that we can communicate, so that we can see you. We can see your expressions. We can hear how you're saying things. We don't have to be like, what they say and what did she say and who said that? And I really appreciate that. I did miss one thing. I think, and maybe it's for, I know that we talked about the virtual academy and that something is gonna happen with that, but I guess I'm a little lost. When do we actually find out about that program? And you don't have to answer that, but I kind of missed the answer to that, whether it was in this meeting, if we're getting something sent out, if it's, so I missed a little bit of like how we're gonna get information on simultaneous learning and the virtual academy, when that is.
Right now, we keep our teachers ahead of what we tell our parents. How's that?
That's smart. That's actually very smart, by the way. But well, I was just, I didn't know if I missed it or I should be waiting for a date, but I'll just wait until you tell
next me. Wednesday, fine. Next Wednesday, Mr. Mason's doing a presentation on the virtual academy, and then the information will go out. But I want to ask you, Ms. Marks, can you teach me something?
Sure.
I go to that website all the time,
actually. Yeah.
And I read about the ventilation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good website, and actually, they have an infographic that's very easy that I sent to you guys. You can actually click on different topics as well as the website itself.
Yeah, I like that website.
Yeah. And there's also the Mechanical Contractors Association that I'm very friendly with the leadership in. If there's other questions, I told Kate Emery about restarts and what they're finding and things like that, I'm happy to ask and reach out.
Right. Well, that's why we got a specialized contractor.
Yeah, you need it because this is very
After reading EPA and ASHRAE, I never heard of ASHRAE until this year.
Yeah.
What is it?
There are different associations for HVAC ventilation systems and different contracting associations and different standards boards. So there's a standards board at ASHRAE.
And what's a P25 exchange?
Well, I actually, so I'm not an HVAC expert, so I don't want to answer that because I'm being recorded right now and I'll get in trouble, but I'll get you a definition of anything.
No, don't get me anything. I don't want anything. I want nothing.
All right. But that's honestly a really good like layperson's infographic and frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
And if it just for even just if you don't know how to add, and they have a whole glossary of terms as well in there that you can read in case you need to translate it.
Yeah, it was very good.
Good.
Thank you, Ms. Marks. Your time is up. I'm sorry. But I did want to clarify, our Mr. Mason is going to give a presentation at our next board meeting, which is next Monday, the 24th. Thank you.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Would you Ms. Marks said she sent it to some people. If you received it, could you please forward it to anyone who was on the list who did not get it? The link. Yes. Thank you.
I will forward that over. Okay, next we have.
I apologize, I was muted. Ms. Russell, you can unmute yourself and address the board.
Hi. I don't see the camera, but I started the meeting late. But first, I just wanted to say, I wanted to compliment all the teachers. I have an eighth grade student entering eighth grade. And I think you all did a remarkable job under horrible circumstances switching to virtual with everything. So I just wanted to say that first. And just listening to this meeting, I'm so concerned about, or I guess rethinking, with all the concerns about just having a meeting in person, how we're going to have kids who are completely kids in a school with masks and keep everyone, you know, safe, including the teachers. So I'm actually considering, you know, I had done a virtual choice and now I'm thinking about maybe just, you know, or I'm sorry, I did a hybrid choice. And now I'm thinking about just doing a virtual choice for my son's sake, but also the teacher's sake, with seeing some of the school districts in the rest of the United States opening and then closing immediately. I don't see how, if we can't have a meeting in person, we're going to have all these kids who are never going to keep their mask on all day, all in a building together and keep everybody safe and working and still working. That's it.
Can you let me know your address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. 6 Grace Drive in Annandale.
Thank you.
All right, and the last hand is Ms. Crichton.
Yes, thank you.
Hi again, it's Stacey Ann Crichton. We're at 22 Prescott Circle in Lebanon. So my thoughts in terms of the remote having virtual meetings, again, I think the sentiment is that the meetings now are more productive, right? So I'm sure many parents kind of echoed the same concerns that Ms. Russell just mentioned in terms of, if we're thinking about how can we do this for adults, you know, does it require us to revisit the conversation for children? I think that's a fair question, and many people might have it in their mind. I think I'm also looking at it from a effectiveness of the meeting point of view, right? For the past couple of meetings that I've attended, the participation has been over 100. And where I didn't participate in the past was not because I didn't want to, it's because I have a 3-year-old and I don't always have a babysitter that can stay until 10 or 11 o'clock so that I could join these meetings. And so where we have the opportunity to kind of consider having a setup that allows more parents access to participate in these very critical discussions, I would invite the board to consider allowing that to happen. I think there's still those challenges about what is to come in the future. How does COVID and flu present itself? All of those like very technical, very scientific conversations we're still going to have. I think if we have the opportunity to have those conversations in a forum where everyone can hear, can understand, can actively participate, it helps us to do this better.
Thank you. Brian, I do not see any hands. Do you see any?
Nope, you are good.
Okay, I'm going to close the floor to the second public comment section. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Okay, Dr. Grantham. Second?
Second.
Second.
I didn't see who said that. Sorry. I see Ms. Brooks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions? Opposed? Okay. The time is 9:10 p.m. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Be well.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye.